This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
All right, so Robert Saleh said what he said, and listen, I think he answered the Woody question the only way he can answer it. It's funny, though, because last week, if you guys remember, I said that Woody was close with the family, and Mama Wilson really took me to task for that, said she, you know, her and her family had only met Woody once when Zach toured the facility. I didn't say that Zach's mom and dad were close with Woody. The uncle who owns JetBlue, I think those are the people that are close with Woody. So he's close to the Wilson family. So I don't want Mama Wilson upset with me, but I stand by what I reported, that Woody Johnson does want Zach Wilson back. Let's leave it at that. And, you know, what's a coach going to say if he wants to stay here? Oh, yeah, he's intrusive and he's pushy and, you know, he says, hey, when you have billions of dollars invested in a team, that's why people buy teams, so they could play fantasy football for real. So Woody Johnson is making his opinion known.
Well, I didn't understand Zach's mom's Instagram. Like, what is she so sensitive about? It was saying that her son's not going anywhere.
I didn't get that part either.
Does she want him to go somewhere? Like, usually you only take exception to a story if it's something you don't want to be true.
And also, I'm a guy who has been pro-Zach. I don't mean that
in
the drug way, but I have been pro-Zach Wilson. So Mama Wilson should know that. I'm not ripping the son. I'm just saying that part of the equation is that Woody does know the family.
Well, the thing that I took from it, you know, reading between the lines, Michael, about, you know, and I really liked his analogy, although I don't think it sticks. Like I said, all right, he's 23 years old, but, you know, he's going to be entering his third year as an NFL quarterback. So nobody's going to sit there and go, oh, well, he's young, so just give him time. There's no time anymore.
No.
Jobs are on the line. You got to make a decision on giving him a contract this time next year. So if he's going to be competing for a job, you bring in a veteran, he's going to sit there and watch. What contract are you going to give him? And then I thought his answer was interesting. He was like, hey, my job as a coach is, we all know it's not forever. It's about leaving the franchise better than when you got here. So it sounds to me like he's going to do what's best for this organization, even if it means, at the end of the day, getting let go. So maybe he will play the best quarterback. He's not going to be forced into a corner here. He's going to do what he thinks is best for the football team, and if it means losing his job, then I guess he's going to have to lose his job, because that's what's going to happen, Michael. These things don't happen in a vacuum. If Wilson fails, it's going to end up costing Saleh his job, LaFleur probably his job right now, and could eventually end up with Douglas on the unemployment line. That's how big the quarterback position is.
I have such mixed feelings on our conversations with Saleh. Like, I think he's amazing at spinning things. Like, I think this guy, if he left football, could go straight to the press room and be the White House press secretary. Like, he can, deflect with the best of them. But then I hear from other people who feel like when he's on with us, he makes no sense and he puts his foot in his mouth and goes back on things that he believes. And I really don't know what to think, because these conversations with him about Zach have been so confusing. That's why I tend to think he's good at it, because I end up like numb from it. I don't even know what to think at the end of it. But the fact is, this whole thing has made no sense whatsoever.
Let's listen to Zach. Zach was asked today about his future with the Jets.
You know, it's tough because it's really kind of out of my control, you know, and I love this franchise and what they've given me in my life and the coaching staff and everybody that we have. And so for me, it's, all right, I'm going to approach this offseason the way that I know how, and I'm going to give everything to the guys that, you know, have supported me along the way and just try and approach it and attack it and get better and control the things that I can. So when things like that come up, you know, wherever way things go, I'm able to kind of handle them and be ready for any opportunity.
Zach was asked, do you consider yourself a starting quarterback?
It's out of my control, you know, and for me, I think it's the same mindset of it doesn't matter, because whether I go in there as the one, the two, the three, I'm going to work to prove that I should be, you know, and that's going to be the mindset. I'm going to go in there and approach and attack every single day like I deserve to be.
And finally, if the Jets sign a quarterback, a veteran quarterback, what would he do?
Yeah, I'm going to make that dude's life hell in practice every day. I'm going to go out there and do my best to just show the coaches that I deserve to be there. And, you know, and it's not in a negative way. It's a positive way. It's making everybody else, you know, better, hopefully. And you go out there and you just attack every single day.
You know, I think the Jets are in a really tough case here. because I think that you can't cut bait on Zach that fast. You just can't. Two years is not enough time. Geno Smith is showing now that he's in his 30s, he's broken the single-season record for yards for Seahawks.
So maybe they hang on for another 8 or 9 years.
But that my point is that, as Don said to the coach, you don't have that kind of time. You're not cooking a stew here. You're microwaving a meal. And they can't wait for Zach to be that guy. So I don't know what kind of benefit he'd have just being the backup to Jimmy Garoppolo, but I think that's the way they have to roll. You cannot risk Zach coming back next year as a starting quarterback, and then he wets the bed like he did this year, and then Saleh's out of a job.
I also don't like the whole it's beyond my control. It's in your control, Zach. Play better. Is he trying to suggest he wasn't given an opportunity? Is he ticked off that he wasn't playing? Because then that would make sense to me. Is somebody holding him back? Does he believe the coach is holding him back? Is LaFleur holding him back? It's out of my control. It's totally in your control.
Yeah, it's
you play
like,
better, you win the job.
Yeah, because the question was, do you consider yourself a starter? And he said, that's not beyond my control. No. It's beyond your control whether you end up a starter. Do you consider yourself one is well within your control.
Right. I thought the same thing. So let's go to the phones. Let's see what you're thinking. Let's go to AJ in the Bronx. AJ.
Hey, what's going on, guys? So I'm listening to y'all. Usually you guys are, like, on point with everything. Just one thing I would like to give my opinion on. I think Peter and Don said they're not sure why his mother is taking exception to it if she wants him there. Like, no, she wants him there. It's just coming off as if it falls in line with the whole he's privileged thing, right? Even though I agree he is. But you got to say, that's his mother. So it sounds like he's only there because the owner wants him there.
Great point.
Her exception to it. Mm-hmm.
Great point.
Not that she doesn't want him there. It's coming
good
as
call.
If her son is not earning something. It's given to him.
That's a good call.
Even though I think, yeah.
No, I mean, you nailed it. You're absolutely right. Yeah. That's probably got her a little angry because it looks like, well, if he is a Jet, it's because, you know, Woody has, you know, some kind of relationship with the family.
Is that the first time in the history of sports talk radio that a caller called up and just told the host, hey, you guys got this thing wrong. Here's what it really is. Mm-hmm. And all the hosts just went, yep, you're right.
Yeah,
thanks.
He nailed it.
Yeah.
I'm not going to fight with him.
No, he's right.
I think he saw it the right way. Good for him.
Yeah. No, it's a good spot. I mean, by the way, let's be honest here. We're also talking about, from the very beginning, Zach's mom. When this whole story gets written, Zach's mom plays a part here. From the very beginning, that was the first note that wasn't great about the Zach Wilson era in New York was Mama Wilson.
Mama Wilson.
But that's the first time I've heard from her since, like, before the draft.
She stayed quiet. She has stayed quiet. So, now, did you hear that she's starting a podcast with Kenny Phillips' mom?
Wilson Phillips.
That's right.
Wow.
Yeah, it'd be very exciting.
No, I didn't know
it's
that.
It's called Hold On with Wilson Phillips. That's right.
Wow. Wow.
Thank you.
You really bring stuff to the party. Don't
I? I do. I don't show up empty-handed. I got Doritos in one hand and dip in the other. You know what I mean?
Oh, I hear you. Let's go
Speaking
to Bob.
Of which, are you going to have a Super Bowl vehicle?
Me? No.
Yeah.
Absolutely not.
Come on.
No, I absolutely not.
You still owe us from the canceled year.
Well, because I don't want to have it, number one. And number two, Don's not going to come, so.
Well, how do you know that?
Well, wait, to the Rangers?
You've said you don't do that.
Do the Rangers play that day,
you
Don?
You won't come to it.
No,
no,
he
like
didn't say
do,
that.
No.
He doesn't. First of all, he specifically wouldn't come if the Giants were in the Super Bowl, but he likes to enjoy big games alone. So let him do it alone.
No, I never said that. Big games involving my team.
Very
But you
different.
Also, you like big games alone, too.
No. I never said that.
No, well, there'll be no party here. I'm done with
that's
party.
Really
but Peter, he paints all I said was, could I have made one of the parties after like a Ranger game and drove all the way out to where Michael lives? And I just chose, you know what? It just wasn't worth it. As I'll never go to any of his parties. Don't bother inviting me. Stop it.
And by the way, the Rangers are off. Don could be there.
Yeah, and they only travel. Yeah, there's no travel. I guess I think they're in Carolina the night before. So I'll be home that night. The whole family could go.
Wow.
They haven't been up there. The whole family hasn't been up there since that wedding / barbecue that you had. And I say wedding / barbecue because there was no wedding, but it really all it was missing was a bride and groom, right, Peter? I mean, the spread was phenomenal.
Oh, come on. You know that. Those
parties cost a lot of money, and I'm not in a position right now.
Okay, well, listen,
a lot of money.
That's different than Don doesn't want to go.
Well, that's
I don't
want to
have one.
I mean, why should I have a party for Super Bowl when my good friend and co-host and partner doesn't show up?
But that never happened.
You didn't show up.
You invited me, and I told you that I wasn't going to go. It wasn't like I'll be there and not show up. That didn't happen. I didn't clean out your liquor cabinet like a former employee here did. I've never done anything wrong.
Who did that?
Well, I don't think we've ever made it public, and I'm not going to be the one that does.
Why not? Just tell me. Give me initials.
Give me initials. That's too easy to figure out. Peter, I can't.
MB? Oh, I know who it was.
Yeah.
Well, that was when I lived in Manhattan. That wasn't a big party.
But still, your liquor cabinet guy. I'm sure you have the same
amount of
liquor in your apartment that you had at the house.
Robin Lundberg, yeah. He cracked open an expensive bottle of wine that was not meant for that party.
Right. Come on. Who does that, Peter? Who does that?
Robin Lundberg did.
I'm not even a wine guy. I know not to go and just open bottles without asking.
I just want to say that was a long time ago.
Well, yeah. And I'm sure he's a different.
Were you there, Peter?
No, but I've been around.
Did we know each other then?
I've known Robin forever. I didn't know you.
Right.
That predates.
It'd be weird if you just showed up.
Yeah,
what
sure.
Does it matter?
Knowing Robin back in the days, he could have brought you.
But what does it matter, apartment or mansion? I'm sure you have the same amount of liquor at the apartment that you have now at the house.
Great
no,
point.
No, there's much more.
You're not
more,
a big alcohol guy.
There's much more liquor at the house than there is at the apartment.
Of course there is.
In the apartment.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Come on.
Because there's more room.
He's got a whole liquor room, Don.
I didn't think that you were much of a drinker.
No, I don't drink at all.
He's got a booze room, though.
But we have a lot of guests that drop by.
A lot of guests.
Yeah.
Not us. We're not invited. But
I buy for guests. Like, nobody does the drop-off anymore. No drop-over. Nobody does that anymore.
No.
Back when I was growing up, like, my father had friends stop. Oh, just I'm in the neighborhood. Just stop by. So my father always made sure he had beer in the refrigerator if, like, friends drop by. Nobody does that anymore, right?
It's like the Sebastian Maniscalco bit where he goes, you always had an Enterman's cake in case somebody dropped over. And we did.
I've never seen his stand-up.
Oh, it's brilliant.
Until like a week ago, the Vegas one was on Netflix.
And that's his worst stand-up ever.
But I thought it was fantastic, so maybe I got to take a deep dive. I thought he was hilarious.
Oh, my God. If you take a deep dive and do his previous three, you might wet yourself.
Yeah. I thought he was terrific in the Vegas
one. He was really good, but not as good as he's been.
But you know what? But think about it like this, Michael. Don's not seeing it with that expectation.
Yes, you're right.
So he still could have thought it was tremendous, and now will think he's even better. With the other ones. I haven't seen the Vegas one yet, but I'm not like a stan for him the way Michael is. He's a big fan, but I have enjoyed every time I've watched him.
I laughed out loud just because it's so on point with myself and Nancy. Well, you order first. You go. Like, all right, I'll have the lasagna. Now, all right, I bought you 2 seconds. Now, how much time do you want? Like, I thought it was the timing was taking the shoes off in the car. That also, I thought, nailed it. I guess it's just a matter of, I guess I have a similar relationship with my wife that he has with his because everything felt like it was on point with that stand-up. And I remember you telling me that it wasn't any good.
I didn't say
that
it wasn't good.
He was off. He wasn't as good as he usually is.
Right. He's much funnier in previous ones.
Then let's go check it out.
Let's go to Bob in Jackson. Bob.
Hey, Michael, Don, you guys, I got to tell you something. I'm an old-timer. You're the best thing that was ever on the radio. I go back to the days of Cosell and follow that. You tell it like it is. There's no ands, ifs, or buts about it. Thank you. Everything you said right after you spoke to the coach, you're spot on about everything. When he got off that thing, I wasn't confused. But here's what I was. He is sugarcoating everything for the sake of his own job. I'm going to tell you right now. I've seen all the Jet quarterbacks from 1968, okay? This kid, you could bring in Joe Namath. You could bring in Dan Marino. You could bring in anybody that you want. He does not have the ability to read defenses. You cannot teach that. I'm sick and tired of about him being a 22-year-old kid. Joe Burrow was just as young as him. They are all trying to save their butt regarding the $36 million he got for his contract. They look bad between Donald and him. So now they're going to do everything in their power to make him the quarterback. He is not the Jet quarterback of the future. You saw 4 games, and I'm not saying he's the quarterback of the future, but I saw 4 games with Michael White, and there wasn't even a mention about Mike White. And this kid throwing darts in the rainstorm. this kid was hurt in that last game. If this kid was not hurt in this last game, you would have seen a big difference for the Jets. And this kid, he sucked it up. He's got a pad that shows how tough he is. And I think that the Jets are in trouble. I agree with you, Michael. If they're going to do something, bring in Garoppolo, bring in Brady for a year, bring in anybody you want, but he's not your starting quarterback next year, and well, I don't think he's your starting quarterback for the future.
I agree,
think
actually.
That he is going to be a backup for the rest of his life. If so, you just
if he's not a starting quarterback, he's not going to be a backup either. If he's not good enough to start, he's not good enough to come in if somebody gets hurt. He's just not good enough. But we'll see. I think it's still too early. And what you said about the money doesn't mean anything. It's the fact that he was the second pick in the draft. And now there's talk because the Bears have the number one pick in the draft. They might take a quarterback that they'll trade Justin Fields. Well, how would it look at the Jets? I mean, a lot of people saying, well, the Jets should get Justin Fields. They passed Justin Fields up to take Zach Wilson. How would it look? Again, a lot of it is optics. How would it look?
Well, I just don't see a scenario. If you go out and get yourself a big time, like if you get Garoppolo, I mean, you're not going to have, you know, Wilson back him up. You're going to trade him to try to get something else. If you go out and bring in Fields, we're going to have Fields and Wilson battle. What if Wilson won the battle? Well, you gave up all that capital to get a guy that's going to end up being your backup. I don't see a scenario where if he doesn't win this job, he's still here. Matter of fact,
if he doesn't win the job, it's too late. They're not going to release him, Don.
Well, I don't know how it'll work itself out, but there's no future here. That's why I think if they actually get a sniff, if somebody's actually kicking the tires on giving you a second or third round pick for him, he's gone. I'm sorry, he's gone.
Yeah, but who's giving that pick up? You know,
nobody. Listen. You got a second round pick for Sam Darnold, right? Now
which
you're
is unbelievable.
In worse shape. So I don't know. It would have to be somebody who just believes that the Jets messed Wilson up and that they can correct it. I don't know.
But let's go to our buddy Ira in Staten Island. Ira.
How are you? Good to hear you. Good report all year. And, you know, I'm not sure what to take out of the coach. Listen, you know, he's not going to tell you the truth. He answers your questions, which are, I think, are great questions, the best way he can. But at the end of the day, you know, Peter, I think you nailed it. I think he kind of goes on both sides of the fence. He's a good, you know, he double talks his way out of stuff. But listen, when I'm going forward, and interestingly, he wouldn't commit to LaFleur because I think his days are numbered. You score 44 points in the last five games of the year. I think those were the numbers. You know, you bring them back, and you got major problems. But going forward with the quarterback situation, what concerns me is that they get it right. I mean, this organization, you know, you go back one quarterback after the other, they've ruined, they don't handle them right. And, you know, Zach, listen, Don, you said a second-round pick. If somebody rang right now and gave me a fourth-round pick, if I were Joe Douglas, he'd be out the door. But at the end of the day, let's just hope the organization makes the right decisions that they have to make so this team could go forward. Because after that 7-4 start to end up the way they did, to me, I know they did there's a lot of positive things about this team, but I think because the way they finished, the negative outweighs the positive.
You know what, Ira? I don't feel good about the season at all. I think the negative far outweighs the positives. I mean, you can look at they've got things in place, like, you know, Garrett Wilson. Their defense is not as good as we're all making it out to be. It's okay. I mean, they didn't completely shut down Skylar Thompson yesterday. He's terrible. Terrible.
Hey, that's Skylar Thompson.
I know it was. That's why I said that. But my point is this. How do you look at this season and feel good? They were 7-4. They finished 7-10. They could have easily made the playoffs. They couldn't get out of their own way. They never solved their quarterback problem. You don't have a good feeling about this season.
Nah,
I mean,
you
do you, Don?
It ended so abruptly. Six straight losses. No touchdowns their last three games. And I understand you had Joe Flacco and you had an injured Mike White. Heck, Davis Webb, how many times has he thrown the ball in the last 3 years against a defense that's in the top five trying to win the game actually showed more of a pulse with no real weapons than the Jets? That's the thing that just pains you. That's why I had to talk about with Coach. Their wide receivers are spectacular. They come back to the ball. They got great hands. They make plays. And they're completely wasted. Completely wasted. How do you have those kind of weapons, guys? I know the offensive line's not great. But how do you have those kind of wide receivers and you don't have a touchdown in three straight games? And again, that Dolphin defense isn't great.
No, that was an awful loss.
Because I mean, it didn't mean anything at the end of the day, but you wanted to get some kind of taste in your mouth, not an exclamation point on what the last 6 weeks have been.
Brutal. Brutal ending. Brutal ending. Six losses in a row. Brutal. 1-800-919-3776. Back to your phone calls. We have some information on Kevin Durant as well. Not great news. So we'll
not
break that down.
News.
It's not the worst, but it's not good. When you compare what happened last year, I have the numbers. It's a little scary. Kay LaGreca-Rosenberg and you on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael Kay Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
KD, late in the third quarter, with 1:05 left in the third quarter, had Jimmy Butler fall into his right leg, and it didn't look good at the time. Had an MRI today, isolated MCL sprain of the right knee. He'll be reevaluated in 2 weeks, and Wode says he's going to be out about a month, maybe even more. So that's not good, because they've been playing so well. So a friend of mine is a big Net fan, dug this out for me. Last year, he sprained his left knee on January 15th in the Nets' 42nd game, his 36th. This season, he sprains it January 8th in the Nets' 40th game, his 39th. Last season, the Nets won the game to improve to 27-15. They were second in the East by a half game. This season, the Nets won this game to improve to 27-13. The Nets are second in the East by one game. Last season, Durant missed 21 games, and the team went 5-16 with an 11-game losing streak in the middle of that. And it was this past fall, he said, that stretch led him to losing faith in the organization, and that's when he asked for a trade. He returned March 3rd, and in his final 19 games, he averaged 31.1 points per game, 7.4 rebounds, 7.6 assists, and he made the second team All-NBA. This year, the Nets are 36-19 with Durant, 8-19, or last year, 36-19 with Durant, 8-19 without. So what happens this year? Now, last year you had Kyrie playing some games, not playing others. I don't think they're going to collapse like they did last year, but they're not going to be great. They're not going to keep up the same pace. They just can't. It's a major, major loss. This guy was heading to winning the MVP. That injury is just brutal, just a brutal injury.
Now, What can you, your best hope for the timeline, Michael?
500. I think it's a month.
A month.
At least.
And do you think that takes him out of the MVP race?
Yeah, I don't think he can miss a month and still win the MVP.
Well, it depends. Like, well, what if they collapse during that time and then he comes back and they're red hot again? I mean, how many games are we talking in a month?
12, 13?
12, 10. We have to look it up. So it's not a significant amount of the season. I wouldn't rule it out.
I know what you're saying. I mean, it probably proves his value, but part of the value is availability as well. So we'll see. I mean, it could have been worse, I guess. Could have completely ripped the MCL or the ACL. He didn't. Just a sprain. But 2 weeks reevaluated, that does not mean he's going to come back in 2 weeks.
Now, listen, it stinks, but let me just say this. You're seeing right now what this team is capable of being. It is an incredible silver lining that it's only a sprain and that he will be back. And even if they do drop off, it's not like they're going to fall out of the top 10 in the East. And we know now that it seems that this version of the Nets will compete. Like, yes. If he comes back, let's say even in 6 weeks, which would put us at the All-Star break. He comes back after the All-Star break. You're telling me you still don't like them as a top three seed down the stretch? I think I do.
And also, considering his age and the injuries he's had over the last 3-4 years, a couple of weeks off might not be the worst thing in the world for him. Now, you don't want it because of an injury.
As long as the team doesn't collapse.
But I don't
think they can only collapse so much.
Yeah, and
they
collapsed out of it
last year. No, they're not going to collapse out of the playoffs, but this team had a chance to win the Eastern Conference.
Yeah, but we all know that that doesn't necessarily mean very much anymore. And, you know, you've got Kyrie. You know, last year, you didn't. Or he was in and out, depending on where the game was being played.
Right, right. Knicks playing tonight against the Bucks. Very quietly, everybody, Julius Randle's playing great, especially in the first quarter. I think he leads all NBA players with 9.1 points in the first quarter. And it shows you how good he is when he has a real point guard. Jalen Brunson has been everything that was advertised, been that good. And I'm going to beat a dead horse, everybody. Jalen Brunson was there. Julius Randle was going to be there. Take a look at what Donovan Mitchell's doing for Cleveland. If they had made that trade for Donovan Mitchell, this team would be battling for the top spot in the Eastern Conference, in my opinion. It's pretty good right now. I mean, they might not even have to be a play-in team. They might not. But a good test tonight against the Bucks. Game's on MSG, and obviously we will have it right here on 98.7 ESPN.
And I just want to say, I was among those wrong about Donovan Mitchell. Not that I didn't want him to come here. I did. I did not know that he was this level of player.
He's so good. He had 71 points,
I'm aware.
Week?
Yeah.
Oh, I know you're aware. Are you aware of this? One of our good listeners, great listeners, been listening for a long time. Sally Muscle, 69 years old today.
Oh, really? Wow.
Yeah, Sally Muscle, 69. Years old.
How'd you find that out?
Happy birthday.
I've got a research team, Don.
Yeah, it's called Twitter. I just didn't see it on Twitter.
You didn't see it? Then maybe my research team saw it.
I didn't realize that he was that old. Spirit.
You think so?
Yeah.
So you think is muscle still applicable when you're 69?
I got to see. Yeah, Jack LaLanne, it was good until he died.
Are you think Sally Muscles could be on that level?
I mean, if you're throwing muscles out there, unless you just love the nice pizza side dish, which my father could not order pizza without muscles. Muscles.
Wait, on the pizza?
No, but you get a side order. Always got the side order of muscles. And I tried it. It's a little too salty for my taste. Not awful, but he lived for muscle. So unless he just has an affinity for that, I would think that you've staked the claim that you're muscular.
One quick thing, and this I hope this isn't met with any kind of resistance, because I don't mean it in a pejorative way.
This doesn't sound like a great start here.
You know, the whole world changed when Hamlin went down.
Mm-hmm.
Kumbaya. Everybody's great. We all love each other. We're going to treat people with respect. Sort of like on 9/12 of 2001. Everybody loved each other. Then it got to be 9/15 and we all hated each other again. So the heroes of Hamlin being transported from Cincinnati back to Buffalo today are the medical professionals on the teams, the athletic trainers that restarted his heart. So yesterday in the Packers-Lions game, a Lion was down. One of the athletic trainers on the Lions came out. And Quay Walker, the linebacker for the Packers, pushed him. Pushed him for no reason whatsoever. Just pushed him. A lot of respect for the group of people that actually saved a man's life. He just pushed him, got thrown out of the game, disqualified for the second time this year. My guess is he won't be back because LaFleur wasn't thrilled. And the only thing I like about it is Quay Walker actually, he sent out a statement that sounded like he wrote it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was a really stupid thing for. I don't even know why I did it. I don't know why I do these things.
This was such a stupid thing to do. These people are doing their job. I don't know. I mean, he owned it as much as he could, but it was not a great moment.
It was awful, okay? But when I started to kind of feel for him is that NBC did a great job. They had a camera in the tunnel and got video of him leaving to go back to the locker room, and you could see how upset he was with himself. Like, he was in tears. They're showing it now on Yes. And I kind of felt for him because he just lost it in that moment. See, I don't buy the whole, well, football players can't turn it off. That's why they drive 100 miles per hour. That's why they beat their wives. That's why they – no, that's silly. But I do think that sometimes it's difficult for football players to turn it off in the moment. And I think he just got caught up. I think he regretted it the instant that he did it. And you see and you feel for him. So, hey, listen, you can't get up from it. He's probably going to be gone. But I saw – the emotion from him when he left, I really believe, because his statement I thought was very genuine. Wasn't one of those, oh, well, if I offended anybody by pushing him. No, he owned it. So I do feel for him, because I do think that in the heat of battle, Michael, that those things can happen. You got to control yourself, and he didn't, and he's guilty of that. But I do genuinely believe there was contrition.
This will also tick off Danny from Long Island. But
oh.
One of the Steelers was down, and like I guess he was celebrating a great player, a touchdown, and one of his teammates did CPR on him.
No.
Tone deaf anybody? Are you dumb? Are you stupid? I mean, what happened on Monday? You doing that yesterday? Oh. Are you that dumb because that was your practice celebration?
It's probably not what you want to do.
Stupidity
again. I don't think that was something they actually thought about.
Because they don't think. They're dumb.
But it works the other way, too, where you get caught up in a positive way and you're not thinking. If given a moment of thought, they would realize what they're doing is stupid. But I don't think they consciously, oh, let's do this because of what just happened on Monday. It just, stupid's the wrong word. For me, at least. If you want to own it, that's fine.
Tone deaf. How about tone deaf?
You're just caught up in the moment. You're not thinking. You just get in that moment of just not really giving thought. If that makes you stupid, then I guess that makes you stupid. But I can't. I didn't see the Pittsburgh thing. But last night with the Packer, I really felt bad that he did that.
Oh, like, you've really become.
I felt
Dombey.
Bad for him. No, because
why?
You know what? Because I'm that guy.
He should cry.
I'm going to tell you.
It cost his team a playoff.
I'm going to tell you because you know what? The way, obviously not at that level, but there are times where we've all kind of lost our temper and instantaneously realized just how stupid we were.
Remember
in that
when
moment.
Don said he was going to smack my face dead?
There's an example
that.
Of that.
He that, didn't that, regret that.
So we can all have those moments.
I've never
I'll
had
smack your face dead.
I've never had that moment, ever.
Yeah.
You control yourself. Great ones control themselves.
Michael K. I don't know if you know this about Michael, Don.
I hate you.
He is not the forgiving type. You and I are different breed.
He pushed the athletic trainer Peter.
What happened was the guy standing there, the athletic trainer doing his job appropriately, kind of lightly pushed him aside. He is in the middle of a playoff opportunity that's falling apart. He, without thinking, pushed the guy. It was totally uncool and worthy of punishment. I'm going to hold him to it forever? He may have messed up. Now, if he punched the guy in the face and knocked him out, that's a little harder to get up from. But the guy wasn't hurt. It was just a bad, bad decision.
And what did I do, Peter, in the break after I yelled at you?
You apologize.
Yeah, I texted him immediately because we weren't in the same room. I don't know. You were out with the WWE.
I would know. It was NBA Finals. I was in Toronto.
All right. So, but the overall point is sometimes we lose it, Michael. And it's you know what? It's the truly great ones.
That's right. Keep going.
That sense what they did wrong and then do the right thing after the fact.
Do the
not,
right
not
thing.
Not stop it in the beginning.
All right. So how about what Jihad Ward did yesterday to the Giants? Galladay scores a touchdown. He's sitting on the bench. Cameraman shooting Galladay. And Ward just decides to flip him off. Everybody changed so much on Monday. Nobody's changed.
Well, by the way, and I'll tell you one person who hasn't changed, and that's me. I will still call people out, even if I love them. Were you guys surprised to see me go up and in our text on RG3 on Saturday?
I loved it. Show me something.
Robert, you're a great man. He really is. He's first of all, not only is he a great man, Guys, he's fantastic on TV talking football. Like, this is what he's supposed to be doing. He's great at it. On Saturday night, he comes on ESPN wearing the DeMar Hamlin jersey backwards. It wasn't enough, Robert, to just wear the Hamlin jersey on TV. We get the point.
You know what? I would have been fine with it if he came out, and then the next time he's on camera, he kept it on the whole day.
The whole day, backwards. You don't think that a reporter on TV, a commentator on TV, wearing a jersey with the number of the player was clear enough that you were showing your... It was just, by the end of the week, everyone's effort to prove they were the number one supporter started to wear on me a bit.
All right, we're going to take a brief time out. They're yelling at me to break, and I listen to people right here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Split the ice apart and break the frozen.
Ice picks. Ice picks. Ice picks. Ice picks.
Time for today's ice picks, driven by Nissan. Buffalo, home for Philadelphia. Sabres have been hot. Watch out for them. They can make the playoffs. Tage Thompson has been terrific. I've got them at plus minus a goal and a half at plus 105. So we'll go with them covering the goal and a half against Philly in Buffalo. That's tonight's ice pick, driven by Nissan. You deserve a car that will thrill you, and Nissan's got an exciting full line that'll put goosebumps on your goosebumps. Experience the thrill for yourself. Shop your local Nissan store and NissanUSA.com today.
All right, wow, good job. It's time for the NFL recap, brought to you by Jackpocket. So busy day. It's called Black Monday. Cliff Kingsbury of the Cardinals fired. Now, what a functioning, ridiculous organization the Cardinals are. They just gave him an extension, taking him through the 2027 season. So they fired him. Now, who would have thought that a guy who was fired as the coach of Texas Tech before you hired him wouldn't be able to make it in the NFL? Maybe the Jets should go after him as an offense coordinator, because he's an offensive mind, but his team is undisciplined. The beginning of the season, if you look at his record, it's unbelievably off the charts. And then in the second half of the season, they fall apart. So Kingsbury is out. But here's the thing that really gets me. For the second year in a row, the Texans have fired a coach after 1 year. David Culley last year, Lovie Smith this year. Meanwhile, their nudnik of a GM, Nick Caserio, he remains. He's 6-26-1 as a GM. So Lovie was 3-13-1. For some reason, he won the game yesterday. And
for some reason,
first pick. Yeah,
you should love him for it.
Why?
Because that's the height of vindictiveness.
No, he didn't know he was going to be fired. He might have been fired because he won the game.
Well, he probably knew.
I think he knew, Michael. I think he was. He might have been explicitly told.
Well, then they're idiots for letting him coach because they lost the first pick in the draft.
But here's my question for you: if in fact though he did know and did it intentionally, how much do you love Lovie Smith?
Love him so much, and now I can see why his first name is Lovie. But in all seriousness, though, the NFL, which is trying to promote minority hiring,
mm-hmm.
they let two black coaches get fired in after 1 year. This is on top of Steve Wilks when he was with the Cardinals before they hired Kingsbury. He got fired after 1 year. How does that look now? I think that we've reached full-time equality when you could hire a black guy or a gal and fire them when they don't do a good job and not be accused of racism. Then it's full equality. But are we really at that point now that you can just so summarily dismiss a man after 1 year?
Well,
how can an NFL football coach actually input his thoughts and his system in 1 year? Well, now, you could say, well, Lovie Smith signed a four-year deal. He's going to get fired. They don't want to get paid for nothing. They want to be able to do their job. It's a disgrace.
It's just an easy out. It's an easy way to take away the heat from you. Oh, we had a lousy season. Let's just fire the coach. It's always the coach's fault. Now, Lovie Smith is a good coach. Now, I don't watch them every day. They weren't a very good football team, but they didn't have a lot of talent. They didn't have a quarterback. You know, so they lost their, you know, their great wide receivers. Brown's now playing in Philadelphia. No, I'm sorry, I got to Tennessee, got screwed up. But you know what I'm saying? They got so many really good wide receivers that are gone now, right? Hopkins gone. You know, so I don't know what Lovie could have possibly done better, but, you know, was Lovie given the deal because of the circumstances from the last coach that got let go? Like, it's a mess there. It's a mess.
When you fire a coach after 1 year, you made a mistake too. And now, is Caserio going to be allowed to hire three different coaches? What is Caserio? Some kind of swami that he has it over the owner? I mean, why would you keep a guy who's this inept?
You know, there's two really bad owners. There's the owners that meddle, and then there's the owners that don't know what's going on, and they rely on their general manager to make all the decisions, right? And it's the wrong guy. Like so is ownership there just like, well, whatever, you know. Their dad's gone because it's still the McNair family, right?
Yeah, it's Cal McNair now.
So is he like, just whatever you want to do? I mean, cool. You know, and that's not a good thing either because you want to have some sort of resistance. Like, listen, I don't think you could continue to get chances of bringing in different head coaches.
But how
now, the Watson thing wasn't, you know, that was a mess that wasn't necessarily their doing unless you want to say they were enablers in the original problem. But him wanting to be out there and then him eventually being gone left a huge vacancy in their quarterback situation. But that's not the only problem they have. It wasn't like they were winning with him.
Just to Michael's point, though, I just can't believe the NFL doesn't realize with all the things that have happened over the last several years, this still seems to happen over and over again. You'd almost say that if you were the league, and listen, I know this is the kind of internus and things we shouldn't know about, but you would just think that if Goodell or any of these people, the other owners, even wanted to put on the illusion that they cared about promoting diversity among coaches, would say, hey guys, here's the deal. If you hire a black coach and put them in an impossible spot and fire them after one season, that looks bad. And then, especially if you turn around then, and when you try to build things, you then bring in a white coach? Looks even worse.
But, again, I'm not defending the NFL because you're 100% right. What do you do? Like, anything they try to do looks like it's eyewash because that's exactly what it is. Right? They realize there's a problem. The Rooney Rule certainly doesn't work. You know, are you going to fine them? Well, they're going to turn around and say, well, why can't I fire a coach that only won two games?
What did they? But here's my question: what did they think was going to happen this year with Lovie Smith?
It's the most dysfunctional organization, and probably in all of pro sports. That's the NFL recap, brought to you by Jackpocket. Powerball is, let's see, $340 million. Mega Millions is $1.1 billion. Amazing. And you can win those. Play official state lottery games on your phone with Jackpocket. Download the Jackpocket app. Get your first ticket free using code ESPN. You must be 18 or older to play. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-877-8-HOPE-NY. Visit jackpocket.com/TOS for full terms of service. Why do you want to listen to the show? 5 o'clock, Steve Young. 5:30, GM of the Jets, Joe Douglas. You also have Super Box Bonanza 2023. Thousands of dollars in
prizes.
Listen to something else, and you're not that bright. Sorry.
that's a new method of promoting I've never
heard.
Sorry,
you're just not that bright.
Listen or you're dumb.
Yeah, or you're stupid.
Right, go right up and in.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.